Hello and welcome to the show. New season, new stories, new moments that could change the world and maybe even change us. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. 10 minutes of going places, meeting people, asking questions, and getting smarter together. No shout in the news, no opinion, no slant. I simply tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. The world moves fast, but we've got the best 10 minutes in news to keep up. CNN 10 is back. We begin today with Mother Nature reminding us who's boss. Several significant earth science stories across the globe, starting in Hawaii, where Hurricane Lala battered the islands over the weekend, its eye wall brushing Hawaii's Big Island Saturday as the Category 1 storm moved west. A hurricane does not have to make landfall to cause major damage. Lala didn't, but its impact was felt across the state. Videos obtained by CNN show a surreal scene where torrential rainfall and sustained 80-mile-per-hour winds left more than 130,000 customers without power. That's about 70% of the Big Island.
It's been really surreal and kind of unreal that we're getting, like, Lala, like, right now. And it said, like, in 3 decades we haven't got one, like, this big.
Hawaii's governor announced at least one person had been killed in a storm-related car accident. Emergency crews are working around the clock to restore power and rescue stranded residents. Lala was downgraded to a tropical storm Sunday as it continued northwest across the rest of the state, dumping more than 2 to 3 feet of rain in some areas in less than 24 hours. Tropical storms typically hit cooler ocean temperatures as they approach Hawaii, but Lala remained over warmer waters due to an ongoing maritime heat wave in the Pacific thanks to the developing Super El Nino. Now to Indonesia, where rescuers are racing the clock to search for survivors following a series of severe earthquakes. Officials say a 7.7 magnitude quake struck off the coast of Flores Island, home to roughly 2 million people, and the popular tourist hotspot, Bali, around 6 a.m. local time Saturday morning. Just hours after the first earthquake, another 6.9 magnitude quake rattled northern Sumatra, followed later by a third 5.7 magnitude quake roughly 600 miles to the north. Flores experienced nearly 1,000 aftershocks following the initial quake. Roughly 1,300 homes across the island were severely damaged, forcing many residents to flee with just the clothes on their backs.
At the moment, we don't dare go home just yet because the situation isn't stable. We still worry that there might be more tremors coming.
As of this taping, at least 50 people have been killed and scores more have been injured. Makeshift hospitals have been set up to treat the wounded, and emergency officials are working to access isolated villages that were cut off by landslides. Officials say more than 50,000 aid packages are en route to the island. Pop quiz hot shot. Which famous artist led the 20th century art movement known as Fauvism? Henri Matisse, Pablo Picasso, Andy Warhol, or Frida Kahlo? If you said Matisse, go on, brush your shoulders off. Fauvism, French for wild beasts, is a nickname inspired by the artist's bold, untamed use of color. In Italy, police say they have recovered 3 stolen paintings by the renowned French artists Cézanne, Matisse, and Renoir. Mass burglars stole the art right off of the walls of a museum near the northern city of Parma this past March. They broke in and grabbed the works all within 3 minutes. Local media say that the paintings were found in a cardboard box used for a flat-screen TV in the basement of one of the alleged thieves' homes. Art experts say their value exceeded $10 million. The foundation celebrated the recovery, posting on Instagram that, quote, beauty has prevailed. Now to a dilemma that has been plaguing communities across the U.S. this year. As companies race to develop more artificial intelligence models, there's a growing need for more buildings and electricity to power them. There are more than 4,000 data centers already built or under construction in the United States alone, with another 1,500 being proposed. Our Shimon Procupes visits communities that are fighting to keep them from being built in their own backyards.
You better vote no! You better vote no!
The political backlash to data centers has been fierce nationwide, aided by the rise and fear of artificial intelligence.
We don't need it. We need water.
In Utah, residents are fighting a proposed 40,000-acre data center that, when combined, is twice the size of Manhattan.
Maybe this decision should be made after the election.
So meetings like this in Union, Missouri are happening all across the country, and really showing the fear and concern.
The burdens would stay local, the profits would leave town. We are asking you, please, stop this theft now.
What could a data center do to a community like this?
To find out, we traveled 850 miles from Union, Missouri to a place already familiar with data centers. Loudoun County, Virginia, outside D.C., this is Data Center Alley.
Just in this area alone, there are over 200 buildings that contain data centers, some 50 million square feet, enough to fit 8 Pentagons.
Having even one data center can double the amount of tax revenue. We've been able to build 30-some schools and 15 fire stations and 6 libraries.
But not everything went right.
It is like having constant jet airplanes flying overhead.
Because you can hear it right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, take a listen here, right? This is...
That hum you hear? That's coming from this, a massive data center just feet from these homes.
What's it like when you're trying to sleep?
It's like a July 4th fireworks going on.
Last night, my son Lucas got up in the middle of the night and said he couldn't sleep and came into our room. So it is affecting their sleep and they have to go to school.
There's another problem.
If it was a southern wind today, all that would be blowing right over this, our houses.
Diesel backup generators, when they're tested, they pollute.
Those are the days in particular that I feel irritation in my throat.
How do you respond to them?
It's a very unfortunate situation because when it was built and approved, it was intended to be on the grid. Then in 2022, we had Dominion tell us, well, we're out of power. They had already built and leased the building, so the only solution for them was the gas turbines. It is a temporary situation. Eventually, the power will be delivered to the site, but that doesn't help them tonight when they're trying to get to sleep.
You're opening a Pandora's box that can't be closed.
Back in Missouri, they're fighting two proposed new data center campuses in Franklin County. Bill Hubbard's century-old farm is next to one of them. Recent reports about a Georgia data center draining water from nearby farms has Hubbard worried.
They say they're not going to drill wells. All these guarantees. You know, 737s weren't supposed to crash.
The company behind one of the campuses says they won't tax local resources.
We're developing a closed-loop water system so it conserves water. We believe we could develop them in a conscious way, getting feedback from the community.
Most here are like the Hubbards. They worry because the land is their life.
This is home. There's no amount of money that could get me to sell this. No amount of money.
So what do you think? If AI becomes more useful, should these companies build more data centers to keep up with demand? Who should pay for the infrastructure needed to support the AI boom? What would a responsible AI data center look like? Feel free to press pause and discuss. Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. Tiny legs, huge personalities, and zero respect for aerodynamics. Around 130 corgis from 8 different countries took their ultimate test on the field in this year's Corgi Race Festival on Saturday. The annual event takes place in what the organizers call the, quote, European Corgi Capital in Vilnius, Lithuania. Guided by chew toys and treats, these furry lowriders put those bread loaf bodies into sport mode. But speed wasn't the only corgi category for competition. Check out the chunk who took home gold for loudest bark. The winner, Mr. Corgington from California, registered 111 decibels, roughly the volume of a chainsaw, proof without a shadow of a doubt that these short kings deliver more than just cuteness, but some undeniable talents as well. It's shout-out time now. The reason this is the best 10 minutes in news is because of you. Best viewers on the planet like Mr. Huffman and Mrs. Coaster at Mattoon High School in Illinois. Braden sent us this, a handmade piece of art, which might just become a really great place, a dish for me to put all my doodads, thingamajigs, gizmos, and knickknacks. This is going to be awesome. Thank you so much for thinking of us. And our next shout-out goes to Miss Sims and all of my patriots at Berkmar High School in Lilburn, Georgia. She's also a floor manager at Fox 5 here in Atlanta, on top of coaching the Lady Patriots basketball and soccer teams. I see you, Coach Sims. Rise up. Make it an awesome day, everyone, and I'll see you right back here tomorrow. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.